The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can we avoid having Lordship Salvation gain a foothold in our churches? Well, that's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today as we tackle an important question. You can send us your questions, by the way, through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And in the studio with us is Steve Elkins, former Young Life worker, former pastor, and you're starting a ministry. There's a website being built. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Graceheadquarters.org, okay. But don't go to it now. It won't be up until probably December or so.
All right.
But we are working on it, and hopefully we'll get to work feverishly on. I'm just doing some other projects right now that are taking up time, but we're going to have hopefully Grace Headquarters going and would hope to do some 5-minute videos and things like that.
Yeah, what's the vision for the ministry? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I would love it to be kind of a complement to what GES does. We'll post good sermons and, you know, have papers and studies and things like that.
All right, great. So it's going to be a free Grace resource, spoken, written, all of it. Awesome. Very good. We'll look for graceheadquarters.org.
Grace Headquarters, yeah.
All right, very good. Well, it'll be on our ministry list under our resources page on our website.
I want GES to be Grace Headquarters.
Well, I think we got the domain. I just lost it. Yeah, you lost it, Bob. I mean, you snooze, you lose. Well, Grace Headquarters, look for that online. We have been going through the Lordship Salvation issue with Steve, who wrote your master's thesis on this. Let's talk about this question. How can you avoid having Lordship Salvation gain a foothold in your church? And here's how I kind of picture this question. You might have already, by the mercies and grace of God, a free grace-friendly church. You might be already open or teaching that salvation really is by faith and it really is apart from works. But a lot of the popular evangelical leaders today, as we have discussed, teach commitment. You need to do more. You need to try more. You need to give up. You need to really own your faith. You can't have cheap grace. There's a cost of discipleship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you might be getting a lordship influence in your church. Have you seen that happen, Steve? And how do you stop it?
Those are kind of two different questions. Yeah, I think it's very hard to stop once it gets in because it can win over people so quickly. And then you look like the lone person out there complaining or something.
Because it looks good, right? Because they're calling people to do good works. They're calling people to try harder for Jesus, do more for Jesus, all of which are good things.
And it's got the consensus and popularity behind it.
It's right.
The radio and the books that are written and everything. You know, we could say they've won the day, so to speak, as far as media goes, as far as popularity. So it's tough. But back to the original question, how to avoid lordship gaining a foothold in your church. I'm speaking as a pastor. I can say this, absolutely. Just stating it positively, that is, just stating the gospel and the free grace message positively isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can state it every week and several times a week. You know, John 3:16, the gospel, and the people are just going to yawn, by and large, because they're going to think, well, who doesn't believe that?
Yeah.
In fact, I have friends that go to a lordship church. They don't know what's behind in the doctrinal statement and so forth because the preacher's a little bit subtle about it. But they just assume John 3:16 is a message and everybody believes that. But they don't know that they're in a wolf's lair, if you will. But back to this point, just stating it positively isn't going to get it done. Here's what I mean. In logic, there's A is A. A is not non-A. You need to say A is not non-A.
Yeah.
And you need to explain what non-A is, why it's so dangerous, how it's torn up lives. And even more than that, if you're going to be effective, I believe you've got to speak to people's hearts and emotions mm-hmm. on this with the truth and let them see the devastation that Lordship Salvation does to people as far as destroying assurance. We talked about the deconversion of so many young people out of Christianity, et cetera, et cetera.
So what you're saying is you need to teach these controversies. You can't just teach the truth and expect them to get it. You have to teach them what the error is and why it's wrong.
And you can say it in a positive way because you're going to come back to how great the message is
right.
that we have. But here's the dangers. And of course, Paul warned about this, like in Acts 20 and other places, about the savage wolves coming in and so forth.
And in terms of appealing to emotions, I think what you're saying is give illustrations, real-world illustrations of how devastating this is.
That's right.
Let people know this isn't just a theoretical thing that seminary professors like to debate behind closed doors. This is affecting lives on a day-to-day basis. People are tormented by these doubts. They're not sure where they're headed. I was reading this, I think it was R.T. Kendall in his book, Grace, I believe. The title is Grace. And he just mentioned he did his dissertation at Oxford on the Puritans. And he discovered that pretty much every single Puritan died with horrible doubts about whether they were going to be saved or not. They went to their deathbed in doubt about their salvation. This is a real problem in the churches. And you don't want that kind of doubt to enter into your church.
And that's what's going to happen with Reformed theology or Lordship salvation. It's just going to foster doubt like crazy.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, remember, Sean, you interviewed David Engelsma, and he called Puritanism, or much of modern Calvinism, even though he himself is a Calvinist,
yeah,
he said much of it is a gospel of doubt.
Yeah.
And he said they're forever on a quest for assurance. In fact, Joel Beakey, who's a Westminster Seminary PhD in chapter 18 of the Westminster Confession of Faith on Assurance, he calls his book The Quest for Assurance.
How about this? I was just talking to Hunter. He is the youth pastor, I guess, at J.B. Bond's church, sure, Stillwater Bible Church. So Hunter was telling me they get curriculum, but he rewrites the curriculum so that it reflects a grace perspective. You're going to have to do that. Don't you think pastors are going to have to do that? Watch out for the curriculum that you're using and being taught in your church.
Amen to that.
It's not just about your sermon. Your sermons, yeah, you have control over that, but pay attention to the songs you sing. Pay attention to the Sunday school curriculum, the VBS curriculum. Watch out, because it just sneaks in lots of different ways.
There's hundreds, at least dozens of people who are gifted to do something like that, and we need it in the grace community.
Absolutely. If you have a gift for writing Sunday school curriculum, VBS curriculum, we just used VBS curriculum from Free Grace International. Mm-hmm. John and Cindy Gooding did an awesome job at our national conference.
Absolutely.
And so if you're looking for, they have that one VBS curriculum. I'm sure they're working on more. Go to Free Grace International and look it up. But you might have to rewrite or edit your own stuff to make sure that Lordship salvation doesn't seep in through the cracks. Well, here's a related question, Steve. It's infiltrating the churches. Well, why is it infiltrating? Why does it appeal to so many people?
You know, I guess certainly I would want to say in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 1, where Paul says, you know, we preach the message of the cross, and that God has chosen the message of the cross to save us. And at the end of the paragraph, he says, so that no one can boast before God, but that God gets all the glory. Let him who glories glory only in the Lord. The true gospel message knocks the props out from under any thinking we might have that our works or even post-conversion works have something to do with it. That hurts people's pride. Mm. I think there could be some satanic blindness in that regard or hardening. Well, you know, everybody, it seems like, wants to take some credit for their salvation or standing before God. Two big responses I think of and hear often is, since Christ has done so much for us, then we should at least do X, Y, Z for him, repent, et cetera, et cetera. And if someone's unwilling to do that, then it just shows they really didn't believe.
Right.
Or, many people say it, as saved people, we have the Holy Spirit and a new nature. Surely it's got to evidence itself. If we have those things, it would have to evidence itself in some way, good works and Christian behavior.
You know, I do see that a lot. People say, listen, we're born again. We're permanently dwelt by the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't we see some kind of fruit? Doesn't the Bible tell us to expect to see that growth and fruit if the seed has really germinated within us? Why shouldn't we be looking towards those things as evidence of our salvation?
At the very best, it would only be some kind of secondary assurance, but I don't even like to say that. Our only and primary grounds of assurance should be, as even Calvin said, the objective promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of the gospel, namely John 3:16 and the hundreds of verses like it.
So maybe part of the reason why Lordship salvation appeals to people is they're looking for evidence of their salvation that they can control, that they have control over, maybe? I don't know.
I think a lot of times it's just they're involved in false teaching and they don't know any better, or they're
biblically
illiterate a little bit. They haven't thought about it, sadly.
What about people who are just concerned with the low level of Christianity, the nominalism in the churches? Do you think they see Lordship salvation as an answer to nominalism?
I bet they do. I bet many do.
You also have Protestants going to Orthodoxy or Catholicism because they think there's too much nominalism in Protestantism, so I'm going over where there's all this ritual and all the icons and all the saints and all of these things, they think it's livelier somehow.
And shame on us for not teaching on rewards, one of the primary motivators to good works and so forth, because Zane used to say, you know, God gives us eternal life, but he pays us for our works. He was thinking, for instance, of Revelation, the last recorded words of Jesus, where he says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my wages are with me, even to give or repay each man according to his works." He gives us eternal life, but he pays us for our works, if we could get that message out.
What about this? I mean, do you think some people just, the reason why Lordship salvation appeals to them is because this idea that salvation is a free gift, it just sounds too good to be true. They've heard these free gift offers for all kinds of things. Get a free phone, get a free car. They hear all these free offers, and it just sounds too good to be true. And so then they hear John 3:16, and they just think, oh, this is, or the free grace message, and they think, oh, this is just another too good to be true message.
And sadly, they always come with a hook. It's free, but we want you to buy this product.
Right.
Come to our real estate deal, and we'll give you a free set of golf clubs, but then they'll beat you over the head about the real estate or whatever.
Right. Yes.
There's always a catch, it seems like.
And this actually is the one thing that doesn't have a catch. Eternal life really is free for us. Because it costs Jesus his life, but it's free for us.
But, you know, some people call this easy believism. If it's so easy, why is it that so few people believe this? It's actually harder because Satan has convinced people, if you're going to go with religion, go with one that has you working your way to heaven. Well, Steve, I really appreciate what you've said about how to keep this from getting a foothold, because it does get a foothold in churches. And if we're not vigilant, even a church that's clear on the free gift of eternal life can lose that foothold on the message. Can you conclude this for
us? Well, I would just say, too, you know, if you're a leader in the church or even just a worker in the church, best you can get the free grace materials and teaching into the hands of the teachers and the workers in the church, because sadly, by and large, even in a free grace church, they can be ignorant of it.
Well, if you guys have enjoyed this conversation, be sure to check out previous episodes wherever you listen to us online, and stay tuned as we conclude this discussion on Lordship Salvation with Steve Elkins. Thanks for being with us, Steve.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to continue our discussion about Lordship Salvation, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.